Well, thank you, choir, and thank you, Mary, and thank you, Kathy. What Fanny Crosby, she wrote thousands of hymns. We know very few of them that we sing so often, but she wrote thousands of them. And that, to me, is just remarkable, absolutely remarkable. Before I read the scripture, I want to give you some information and some things about what's going on for Deanne and I. I feel very blessed to have lived in three towns in the past week. We've been here in Withville, I've been in Richmond for a night, and we've been in South Hill, but here's what I want to tell you. We are home now, and we are so thankful to be home. As far as I'm concerned, there's still a lot of stuff in our house back there. It hasn't been moved here yet. But I brought the most essential thing with me, and if I'd thought about it, I'd brought it to church with me. The absolutely most essential thing is with me, so we're moved as far as I'm concerned. I brought my favorite coffee mug and was using that this morning. It has on it, it says, eat, read, and sleep. Those are my favorite three things to do, okay? So, just a wonderful... I did finish up my class, and they gave me a certificate for finishing up. Where'd Tommy go? There he is. Tommy said, the only reason I brought this is so I could prove I went somewhere else. But I finished up what's called the Ruah School of Spiritual Direction, or Spiritual Guidance. Ruah is the Hebrew word for spirit. It is also the Hebrew word for wind or breath. In the very first chapter, when it talks about, first chapter of Genesis, when it talks about that God made humankind in his own image, and then it says he breathed into them. That is the word ruah. So for 2 years, I've been concentrating with 11 of my other cohorts, other pastors and chaplains and church workers, we have been studying about how to hear God's Holy Spirit better. And I can tell you what, you're going to benefit from what I've learned in the past 2 years through sermons and through teachings on Wednesday nights as I share with you what I have learned. It has been tremendous. It has been fantastic. I have some great cohorts all over the state now that I'm going to miss seeing them once a month. I want to let you know that on Wednesday night, this Wednesday night, I'm going to share with you what is called the wheel illustration that I learned as a young Christian in the early 80s. And I use it every day of my life. It's how to be an obedient Christian. It's very simple. I want to share it with you on Wednesday night, and then over progressive Wednesday nights, we will talk about the different parts of the illustration. Just to give you something to think about for Wednesday night, I want you to think about this question. Don't answer it right now, but think about it and be ready to answer it on Wednesday night. Where does all the power in a wheel come from? Where does all the power in a wheel come from? There's something for you to think about between now and Wednesday night. I will explain to you on Wednesday night this illustration that, honestly, I use every day of my life now. And I learned that in the early 80s. Let's look at today's scripture. Today's scripture is about following the Holy Spirit and being led by the Holy Spirit and what happens when the Holy Spirit leads you. So, follow along with me as I read starting in verse 13. You, my brothers and sisters, were called to be free, but do not use your freedom to indulge the flesh. Rather, serve one another humbly in love. For the entire law is fulfilled in keeping this one command, love your neighbor as yourself. If you bite and devour each other, watch out or you will be destroyed by each other. So I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the flesh desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the flesh. They are in conflict with each other, so that you are not to do whatever you want. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. The acts of the flesh are obvious: sexual immorality, impurity, debauchery, idolatry and witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions and envy, drunkenness, orgies and the like. I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Even in the beginning of the book of Genesis, we see already this idea of what we call the Trinity. The idea of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. When God is speaking with someone, and it doesn't identify it, but I understand it to be the Trinity, that they are speaking amongst themselves, and God says, let us make humankind in our image. So even in the beginning of the Bible, we see this definition and this understanding. God the Father, God the Creator, God the one who is over all things. We see all of that. And then we see and we know about Jesus Christ the Son, especially as we read the Gospels and then Paul's letters. And starting in September, I'm going to start teaching through the Gospel of John. One chapter probably each week on Wednesday night. We're going to look at those piece by piece so that we can understand Jesus Christ much better and what reflection we should be like as we go out into the midst of the world. But then the one thing that not many people emphasize all the time is God the Holy Spirit. God the Holy Spirit. That one who comes and lives within us, guides us and directs us. The one who inspires us and helps us. One of the greatest things that happens through the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit coming to live within us is now we have freedom. And that freedom brings us the opportunity to serve one another. That freedom brings us the opportunity to serve one another. You, my brothers and sisters, were called to be free. And it's great to be free, isn't it? We live in a country where especially we can be free to worship how we feel led by God to worship, to live in this country as we can. I am very, very thankful for those who have made this country that way for us. That we can do and can come together to worship God as we feel led. But Paul says, don't let that be a case for you to live the way you want to live. Don't let that be a case for you to live the way you want to live. It's about freedom to serve one another. And Paul quotes from the book of Leviticus, not a book that many of us probably spend time in because it has a great deal of priestly things that it talks about. How to do sacrifices, how to claim whether somebody's clean or unclean. But in the midst of chapter 19 in the book of Leviticus, it says this, love your neighbor as yourself. Love your neighbor as yourself. And Paul says the entire law is summed up in that one thing. When you think about all the commandments and all the ordinances and all the statutes, it's that one thing that encompasses all of those things. Some of us might say, well, gosh, it's hard to remember all those things, and I can't, but if we could remember this one thing. But here's the interesting thing for you. You've got to start with loving yourself. You've got to start being comfortable with who you are. Not who you want to be, but who you are. Part of my schooling these past 2 years, we spent a great deal of time looking deep within ourselves and trying to understand within us who we are. One of the gentlemen at the previous church that I served, that I had visited with many times over the year, and he has some learning disabilities and has had some problems in his life. His name is Zach, and I think the world is Zach. Zach is one of the wisest men that I know. He may have some learning disabilities and whatnot, but he's one of the wisest men that I know. I asked him jokingly one time, Zach, if my wife and I were having a discussion, would you come help me out? Would you back me up? And Zach looked at me, he goes, nope. And I said, Zach, why not? I thought you liked me. I thought we were good friends. He says, nope. He says, I know how this works. He said, I come over to your house and I help you and you two are having a discussion. He says, what it's going to end up being is it's going to be both of you against me. He says, I'll come out and eat dinner with you. He says, I'll go in the other room and watch TV. Y'all can have your discussion. And when you're done, call me. I'll come back in. I went and visited with Zach one of my last weeks there as pastor. And many people don't give him the time of day even because he has learning disabilities and he has a speech problem. And Zach said, I wanted to see you for one reason. He said, don't go up there and pretend to be somebody else. Go up there and be who you told me you are. Folks, we've got to find out who we are deep within ourselves. And we've got to know who we are and come comfortable with loving ourselves so that we can, in turn, love other people. When I know who I am inside and my faults and my weaknesses, when I know that and I sit with other people, I'm much more open to listen, to wait, and to help. And that's what it means when it says, love your neighbor as yourself. I've got to know who I am, not who I might pretend to be to folks. And I'll never forget Zach's words to me. And he told me more than once that day. He said, don't go up there and pretend to be somebody else. Be who you showed me and who you told me who you are. He says, if you don't, I'll be disappointed. And I can tell you right now, I don't want to disappoint Zach because he became an incredible and a great friend. So I need to look deep within myself and find out who I am first so that then by the Holy Spirit's leading and the Holy Spirit's guiding, I can move from that place to loving other people. If you look in verse 16, it says, so I say, walk by the Spirit. I want you to get a good understanding, and my understanding is we are all on a pilgrimage. We are all on a journey. You don't accept Jesus Christ and come down this aisle and say, I want to be baptized, and now I have done what needed to be done, and I am saved for all eternity. That is true, but that's not the end. That is only the beginning. That is only the start of a journey. And as we walk on this journey, it's coming to know the Holy Spirit better. It is God's Spirit who helps us to walk the spiritual journey. And we've got to come to know that Spirit. I know some folks that are afraid sometimes to know the Holy Spirit because they're afraid that we might become Pentecostal. And that we might dance in the aisle and raise our hands and speak in tongues and do all kinds of things that us Baptists say, ooh, we don't know about that. Being led by the Holy Spirit and walking with the Holy Spirit is something that you need to do each day, and it does not lead to dancing in the aisles for all folks. Okay? It does not. But it does lead to us hearing better what the Holy Spirit has to say to us and understanding how God is guiding and leading us. It is all about the journey. It is all about the journey. And I will be forever thankful to my friends in Kenya who taught me that. It is all about the journey. For those of you that are perpetually late folks, you need to move to Kenya. You're allowed to be 2 hours late to any meeting. That's perfectly acceptable. Perfectly acceptable. Now, some of you that are always before time or on time just got a little nervous when I talked about that, didn't you? Here's why. They walk almost everywhere. When you walk down the street or you walk down the path, you do not walk past people and just say hi. You stop for 10 or 15 minutes and talk to them. You interact with them. And then you walk down the street and you meet someone else and you stop for another 10 or 15 minutes. Church service, by the way, goes for 2 hours. Are we allowed to do that here? 2 hours? As long as I turn off the lights and lock the door, right? People would come in an hour and a half through church service, kneel at the end of the pew and pray, and get up and enter into worship. And that was perfectly acceptable. It's all about the journey. And folks, as a Christian, walking with the Holy Spirit is necessary for each and every one of us. We've got to do that every day. We've got to get up in the morning and be prepared to do that. Otherwise, what happens is what it talks about in the next paragraph about the acts of the flesh. Our natural reaction is to live our own plans, ideas, and desires. Our natural reaction is to live our own plans, ideas, and desires. One of my favorite prayers, and you have my permission to use this prayer if you want. One of my absolutely favorite prayers is, Lord, so far today I've been really good. So far today I've done some wonderful things. I haven't yelled at anybody. I haven't had any angry feelings yet today. I haven't kicked the cat. But pretty soon, Lord, I'm going to get out of bed. And I need your help. You see, my natural reaction is the same as everybody else's natural reaction. When we feel like we haven't been treated well, we want to speak up about that, don't we? When we feel like that somebody hasn't been nice to us, we want to say something about it. And sometimes we just want to do our own thing. And sometimes we need to look at what that own thing is and decide, is it something that God would be pleased in us doing? Because Paul gives us a whole long list here about things, and this is not an inclusive list. There are other things. Okay? When the third telemarketer calls during dinner, are you still polite to them? The people are just trying to do a job and make money for their family. It's not their job to necessarily annoy you. They're trying to do a job. Are you polite with them? Or do you go off in your own natural way, as sometimes I have, and say what I'm really thinking about? Why are you bothering me during supper? Folks, we need to make decisions. Are we going to listen to the Holy Spirit and walk by the Holy Spirit? Or are we going to walk by our own desires, our own ideas, and our own plans? Deanne and I have been greatly blessed by walking God's plan for our lives. Greatly blessed. Over and above and beyond. As a young Christian, there was a scripture that I found in Joel chapter 2, verse 25, and it talks about all the years that the locusts have eaten at your life. And God goes on to say, and I promise, I will repay you for those years. I used to hold that scripture up to God and say, God, the locusts have eaten at my life tremendously for many, many years. Pay me back. Pay me back with the blessings and the insights and the encouragements and the excitement. I can tell you I no longer say that prayer. Because God has paid me back over, above, and beyond anything that I thought was even possible. I don't even think much about the locust eating at my life the first 19 years of my life. You see, we can decide to walk our own ways, or we can decide to listen to the Holy Spirit. Now here's what I want to center on for us to really, really think about, is what happens when we center upon the Holy Spirit and we know the Holy Spirit and can hear it well in our lives, what really happens in our lives? And to me, this is exciting because it's not about me. It's not about who I am and what I can do. It's about what happens when the Holy Spirit lives through me. Listen to this again. It says in verse 22, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Now first off, here's what I want you to know. It's not the fruits of the Spirit. It is the fruit of the Spirit. I want you to think about it this way, not as a bunch of different fruits, but I want you to think about it more as a gem, as a diamond. Okay? And as you turn that diamond, you see another face on the diamond, right? And as you turn it again, you can see another face. And as you turn it again, you can see another face. But it's the same diamond, right? It's the same brilliant stone, powerful stone that attracts us and shows us things. The fruit of the Spirit is just like that. There's one fruit. But as I turn it and look at it, I see different things every time I turn it. When people look at our lives, they should see that same thing in our lives. They should see these different qualities, these different understandings, these different aspects of the fruit of the Spirit. Love. Love. Here's my definition of love that I have used for many years. Love is looking out for the other's best interest, even when it costs you. Love is looking out for the other person's best interest, even when it costs you. A love is an act. A love is something that's done, that reaches out. It's not just a feeling. Okay? Yes, I love okra. Especially fried okra. But my love for someone else is completely different, isn't it? Love is looking out for their best interest. Love is looking out for their best interest, even if I lose out, even if it costs me something. Those of you that are married, you understand that. Love is looking out for the other person's best interest in the midst of anything and whatever goes on. Joy is not the same thing as happiness. Joy is not the same thing as happiness. We can have joy in the midst of a sorrowful situation. Joy and excitement. We can have that, and that's something that the Holy Spirit brings through us. Yes, sometimes it's difficult, and sometimes it's hard. But that joy can be there. It's a total overall excitement of life altogether and what that life means. Peace, in my understanding from the scriptures, is not just an absence of conflict. We talk about peace treaties, don't we? They signed a peace treaty, so that means they're going to stop fighting. The biblical sense of peace is so much bigger, so much more. Peace is about having the wholeness that God wants for your life, the completeness that God wants for your life. That's peace. That is peace. And when that exists within your life, in the book of Philippians, it says what? In the fourth chapter, and a peace that surpasses all understanding. A completeness, a wholeness, a fullness. Forbearance in the NIV and many other translations, it says patience. I've had many people throughout my ministry come to me and say, Pastor Tim, will you pray that I can have more patience? And I tell them, do you really want me to do that? There's only one way you get more patience. You have more troubles. Do you need patience when everything's going well? You don't even think about patience then, do you? You need patience when you have troubles and things aren't going right. But the Holy Spirit will bring that through your life. As I have learned in the past 2 years to listen more to what God's saying and to what's going on, I have become more comfortable just sitting still and being patient. And that's part of the fruit of the Spirit. It didn't come from me. That's not who I am. It came from the Holy Spirit. Kindness and goodness, they kind of go together. And they reach out with love also. Faithfulness and gentleness. And I want to talk a little bit about the last one, because the last one everybody talks about they want, but it's so difficult. Self-control. I've been working since January to lose some weight, and I have succeeded. Gratefully, I have succeeded. And that definitely has been self-control, right? Because it means I got to get, instead of eating, reading, and sleeping, I've got to add one more thing to my routine at least. Two things. The second thing is I got to get some exercise and get up and move around. Because if I do that, then I can eat more. Right? Amen. But I also got to learn how to stay away from eating some things that may not be good for me, and just put on weight. It takes some self-control. The self-control that comes from the Holy Spirit is not about me. It's about the Holy Spirit living through me and being that fruit through me. If we allow the Spirit to live in us and through us, God's qualities will shine out of us. Have you ever met anybody like that? You walk up and you meet somebody and you can just tell right away there's something special about them. There's something extraordinary about them that you can't quite put your finger on and completely define it. And then you find out it has something to do about the fruit of the Spirit exists in their life, and it just oozes out of them. And everybody that they touch, and everybody that they meet, and everywhere that they go, this comes out of them and into the midst of other people's lives. Have you ever met anybody like that? You just want to be present with them. You just want to hope that that will come and rub off on you somehow. Amen? I do. I know some folks like that. I know some folks. I just want to be in their presence and learn more from them. One of my group leaders this past year, such a gentle and a kind spirit, full of joy, full of laughter, full of excitement, but sometimes you wouldn't know it when you looked at her. You know there's something there, and you know there's something that's going on, and you know that God is working through her. But as you spend some time and talk with her, you find out more and more exciting things, and you find out how she truly exhibits this fruit of the Spirit in her life. I'll miss seeing Deborah. She was one of my group leaders this past year, and one who helped me hear God well enough that I could be here. She was one that helped me hear God well enough that I knew what God was saying. And it just permeated off of her. And people wanted to be in her presence, but yet she was so quiet and so meek, but so powerful and so excited. I can remember talking with her and sharing details with her, and it was almost as though she could jump and touch the ceiling, which I knew she couldn't because she only stood about this tall. But that power and energy was there, and the fruit of the Spirit truly, deeply exhibited itself in her life. Folks, are we that way? Are we allowing the Holy Spirit to live within us deep enough that we're walking a journey each and every day and maybe setting aside some of our things so that the Holy Spirit can lead us and guide us to the right people to talk to about Jesus Christ, the ones who need to hear, or even those who are already Christians that maybe need some encouragement and excitement in their lives? Can you allow the Holy Spirit to live through you? Here's what I want to ask you to think about. How would others describe you when they look at you? How would they describe you? Would they say the fruit of the Spirit exists in your life? Would they say that they see love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control? Is that how they would define you? If not, what can you change? What can you change for the Holy Spirit to live through you? What can you change? Let's pray. Almighty and gracious Father, what a blessing it is to be your children, to know you and to know that your Holy Spirit exists within us because we believe in what Jesus Christ has done for us. Lord, help us become more attuned to that. Help us to see that better and to understand when the Holy Spirit is speaking to us. To answer with a positive, yes, I'll be that way. I'll walk that way. I'll do what needs to be done. Lord, we want to see the Holy Spirit exist through us in such a way that when people see us, they will want to draw close. And they will want to find out what makes a difference in our lives so that we can tell them about Jesus Christ. And we can tell them about this journey and this walk that we are on as pilgrims to walk towards your kingdom and to grow spiritually again and again and again. Lord, guide us. Lord, help us. Lord, inspire us. That your Holy Spirit lives through us in a tremendous way in the midst of this community. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.